Hi, this is Jake, and you're listening to the Flight Training Podcast. When I was a freshman in high school, I took a debate class, and I was actually pretty good at that year. I won a lot of debate competitions. Me and my partner did well, and basically the way debate worked is there was a topic for the entire year, and you had the topic, you started coming up with some ideas, and it wasn't just our topic that year was like how to improve high school across the United States by like a 20% measure, like academic achievement. Pretty vague, broad topic, but debate wasn't like come up with great solutions yourself and then talk about them. It was, you had to find research and you had to show like a convincing argument with like, this has been done in other places on a broad scale and it would work nationally. It took itself very seriously. And so the way it worked is there was only about five or six ideas that had a lot of research behind them that everyone seemed to use, at least. Maybe there were more, but it seemed like everyone kind of picked one of five or six ways that we could improve things. And then what you did is you got on the internet or you went to the library and stuff and you researched and you found studies that fit the thing you were trying to argue for. And you found, when you found stuff that didn't fit, you even studied those things to find counter arguments, you know, weaknesses in that. And basically you already had your mind made up before you did the research. At least for me, when I was a freshman, I was pretty quickly, once I'd done a little bit of work on one topic, we stuck with that. We weren't going to rehash all the work. So we just tried to find more and more research on that one topic to fit what we already were going to say. So I wasn't looking at the research with open eyes about like what is best. I was just digging for stuff to fit what I wanted to say. Now, you may have already made the leap here, but some of us, we read the Bible regularly. Hopefully you guys in flight training read the Bible every day. That's an expectation. And obviously, if you're reading the Bible as a Christian, hopefully you're trying to put it into practice. I mean, that when you read the Bible, it should change the way you act. But even when we go that far, which is better than a lot of folks who walk through church doors, but when you're reading the Bible every day and you're trying to put stuff into practice, the normal mode people fall into is they're pretty close to approaching the Bible the way I approached research as a 14-year-old in debate. They read the Bible and they're looking for stuff that fits changes they already want to make. You know, so if someone really wants to give up smoking, suddenly these verses start to pop out to them. Or if someone was already feeling guilty about something or already wanting to make a change, suddenly they're finding verses that fit that. That's not terrible, okay? A lot of times if you want to do something and you find it in scripture, like maybe it was a good idea, you know, if you find scripture connecting with it, it's not bad. But today, this week, we're going to be talking about submitting to scripture, okay? And you know, we get this image with submission. I always get the image anyways of like when I would be wrestling as a little kid and you tap someone out, you tap out and say uncle or something, because you were beat by the person that was wrestling you, and you say uncle because you're done, or you know, because like you've lost. And it's always this really negative attitude I have with it, of like losing or being weak. But submission's not necessarily like that. Christ submitted a great deal. We know that he is not weak. But submission is this idea of saying, not my way, but someone else's way. Not what I want, but what you want. Just like Jesus in the garden said, not my will, God, but your will be done. So that's what submission is. It's pretty different than mining through the Bible to find stuff that fits stuff I'm already going to do. I'm finding support for things I already think. Submission is more like building something on rocks. That's how Jesus describes it. Okay, so that's what we're talking about today. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, famous sermon from Jesus, in verses 24 through 27, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, talking about the whole Sermon on the Mount, and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, a lot of people apply this to all of Jesus' teaching or all the Bible, and I don't think it's bad to apply it broadly. But there's this idea here that Jesus is finishing his Sermon on the Mount by saying, like, look, you got two options. You've all heard the message. Are you going to do the stuff I said or not? And when you look through the Sermon on the Mount, it is some challenging stuff. It is some stuff that to do it, you're going to have to submit to it. I don't think any human could come to that thing and say, like, oh yeah, I already thought all these things and was already doing them. Okay, like, we're sinful, we're selfish, we don't have an easy time loving our enemies, we don't have an easy time being good to the needy and not announcing it to others, we don't have an easy time not judging other people. Okay, so when you read that Sermon on the Mount, there's a lot to submit to. And what Jesus describes here, though, is like, it's like building on rock. And when we hear that, a lot of times we picture the finished product. We picture a house built on this, you know, rock foundation being so strong in the storm. And it seems it's a pretty romantic image. And we're like, yeah, I want to be like that. I'm going to put stuff into practice. We normally don't think about what is described here of the actual process of building on rock. Okay, not an easy thing. And that's what he says here. He says, if you're putting this stuff into practice, it's going to be like someone building a house on rock. It's going to be like you're digging into rock and building off of that. So that specific thing reminds me of a time when I was in Mexico. One particular afternoon, I was going over to my friend Peluche's house, and two of his brothers were down in this pit at the front of their yard, which they had a real small little yard. And the area of the town that they were in didn't have plumbing to it, and so most people up in that little hill, they would just have outhouses. For whatever reason, you know, they didn't have a lot of land right in front of their house, and for whatever reason, they had picked that one particular corner to build an outhouse in. But the spot they'd picked, and my guess is their entire yard, was all rock. You know, they're on top of this hill, and the whole thing is real rocky. And it wasn't like granite or something. It was a kind of flaky rock. But here is Peluche's two brothers, or two younger, you know, he's got a lot of brothers, but two of his younger brothers are down in this pit, and they're about 8 feet down into this pit, and it's rock walls on the side of them, and they're down there with a single long pole that's probably like 7 or so feet tall. It's a steel pole, and on the bottom tip of it, it's got kind of like a pickaxe tip on it. And so I had used these a little bit when we'd been building down there. Normally we'd just use a pickaxe when we'd hit rocks for our little small foundations. But if these guys are using this big pole, and what you do is you lift the pole up in front of you, and then you slam it down. It's kind of this one motion over and over. And what that does is it does chip at rocks. And if you're just dealing with, you know, a rock that's the size of a basketball or something, you can break it, you know, as you keep hitting it and break it into smaller pieces and dig it up. When you're dealing with a giant pit of rocks like they were doing, what was happening is they're flaking the rock, and then they're using a bucket and a shovel, and basically when they get a whole lot of flakes down at their feet, then they were shoveling up the flakes and getting them out of the pit. So they were pretty far down into it when I got there, so I thought, like, whoa, okay, I mean, this looks super hard, and I'm really glad I'm not doing that, but look, I mean, you guys are about 8 feet down, like, okay, I don't know how deep an outhouse has to be, but anyways, Pooch and I went and did whatever we were doing. I can't remember. We came back a few hours later, and like, I could not tell that they had gotten anywhere. So I have no idea how long these guys have been working at this pit, but I can tell you in about 3 hours, they got almost nothing done, like almost no visible space. Like, maybe they got a few inches down, maybe they got a foot down, and I couldn't tell, but they didn't get very far. Like, this was obviously, they'd been working on this for days, and they had probably days ahead of them, it seemed like. So this isn't really a story about outhouses built on rocks, and I don't even know how well an outhouse works when it's built on rock, like how drainage and all that works. I don't know. I don't have the answers for you on those questions. What I can tell you is that those guys weren't very happy to be digging into the rock, but I don't think they really had a choice. Okay, so they were doing it. I think when anybody builds on rocks with ancient hand tools, type of technology, I think it's really hard work. I don't think they do it easily. I think they do it because they feel like they have to, because there's some giant purpose or reason why. And people really would build into rocks back in the ancient world, but I bet it was awfully hard for the guys that dug out that rock. And what Jesus is saying here is there's two ways to approach what I told you. There's a way where you don't listen to it, and that's like you're digging in sand. It's easy. Then there's a way where you listen to it and you do what it says, and it's hard. It is not easy. So when we're talking about submitting to Scripture, it means, you know, you can do what the Bible says, and maybe it's not that hard. Sometimes commands in the Bible are pretty easy to live out. They're fun things even sometimes. But there's times as you're reading the Bible, and it shouldn't be once a year. It should be fairly often that you read the Bible and something, the Holy Spirit puts something on your heart off the page. It's like, oh man, that's the opposite of what I want to do. That is going to be really hard. I'm going to have to swallow my pride. I'm going to have to sacrifice some of my money. I'm going to have to sacrifice some time. I'm going to have to make someone upset that I don't want to make upset. I'm going to have to risk my reputation. I mean, there's all sorts of different ways it can come at us, but it's hard. And, you know, ideally, I'm not saying all of Christianity has to be hard or every time you read the Bible has to be hard, but I am saying that when you submit to Scripture, that's a hard thing to do, but it is the difference maker. Okay, if you never submit to Scripture, if you don't let Scripture have that authority in your life, you're not going to go very far with Jesus. You're going to be building on the sand. But if you approach Scripture in such a way, say like, I'm going to do what it says because it said it. Not because I want to, but because I'm going to say uncle to God. I'm going to say like, okay, God, you win. I'm going to do it your way. Not my will, but your will. Now, I will say, if you just open up your Bible to a random page in Leviticus and do whatever it says, like, you can get yourself into some trouble needlessly, okay? So have some wisdom as you submit to the Bible, okay? But a very safe place to go and apply anything you want is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Now, even there, okay, I do want you to use some common sense because Jesus speaks in super intense language, okay? So don't do any mutilation to your body or anything like that. Like, don't pluck out your eyes this week or something like that. But this week, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Read it. And maybe read it again, and maybe read it again if you need to. But find something in there that you don't want to do that as you pray about it, you think, like, God wants me to do this. And honestly, if you pray about it, God will show you something to do. There's somebody in your life that you've been judging that you need to stop judging. There's somebody in your life that you can help. And even though you want to brag about it, you're going to say, no, I'm not going to brag about it. Or there's something you're worried about, and you're going to stop worrying about it, and you're going to seek God's kingdom and trust the rest to Him. You know, there's all sorts of good stuff in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, but read that this week, and then submit to something. And when I say submit, I mean do something you don't want to do. Well, that's what we'll be talking when we come back together in group, is what's the thing from Matthew 5, 6, or 7 that you read this week that you didn't want to do, that you did anyways because you were going to submit to Jesus, because you were saying, like, I'm going to dig into the rock. It's not going to be easy, but I'm going to do it because I want to build something that lasts. So that's the challenge this week, and that's how we're wrapping up the discipline of submission. We could go a lot further with it, but I think ending here on Scripture is a very important place to end. Like, Scripture is a very safe thing to submit to, particularly as you're connected to the Holy Spirit, as you pray through it and say, like, God, show me what to do. Help me understand how to live this out. So don't go it alone. Pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to help you know what to do, how to do it, and even give you the ability to live it out. So that's my challenge for you guys this week. I'm excited to hear how it goes.